We're grateful this evening to come together to observe this type of a service where we celebrate somebody's new life. And it's a testimony that we want to share with those around. As the early church did, I don't know where the birth of baptism truly came from. I've tried to run back and find its roots, but we know that baptism was being practiced by John the Baptist. And his baptism was unto repentance. That was different than what it was before. What had been practiced before John's teaching and preaching was the teaching of adherence to the law. That was the Jewish custom, adhering to the law, and their faith was in the Lamb of God that would come. They would bring their sacrifice and offer it to the Lord as a sacrifice, a sin sacrifice. They would give that. And that was what their trust was in. It was what the Lord had told them. And that in obedience, the best they knew how, they were trying to follow that to the Lord, with the Lord. And the Lord accepted it when they did it out of a pure heart, a desire to serve Him. The Lord accepted that. But then there was something better came, and John began to speak about it. John began to preach to people who had perhaps the law, they had learned how to read it, had learned how to hear it, and forgot how to practice it. They had learned how to exact it from their neighbor and say, this is what you should do, but themselves, the life that was in the teaching of the law back then, they passed it on to somebody else and didn't internalize it and allow the Lord to really work in their lives. But yet there were some that did. We know Simeon and Anna. There were some that got a hold of the essence of what God was trying to teach them. And when they gave their sacrifices, I believe it rose as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Lord. But then came Jesus. There was a John was teaching and preaching repentance, turning to the Lord. And when the people was hearing his message, they likely thought, what he is saying, we know it to be true. He was looking at people in the eyes and telling them, we need to repent. Repentance was a turning from the old way they were living and to the new life. He was teaching repentance. And he baptizing to repentance. And people knew when they heard him say, in their mind, they could have said, well, I'm doing according to the law. But the law wasn't fixing the need of their heart. And they began to say, I know what Brother John is saying out there. This crude man, this man that looks not very appealing, but he's saying repent. And we know in our heart he's right. When he's saying turn from your wicked ways. Make straight paths for your feet. Turn. Change. Don't keep on the way you're going. And then Jesus came. And he was baptized. And as John began, was baptizing there in Jordan, there came Jesus down. And John began to recognize who this was. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And I think it began to rest in people's minds and they began to understand, is this truly God's Lamb? Is this the one? Some of them believed. Some of them believed all they knew how to believe. But the good news began to be sounded forth and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And you know the story. I want to go over it all. Jesus also began to teach in the same vein. About repentance, about the kingdom of heaven, about the place where he himself would rule in the hearts of mankind. Their hearts would be turned back to the Lord. His teaching was in all the facets of the life, talking about heart issues. It was greater than just a legal letter, because the letter we can always find a way around a legal law that we have written down, but it's hard to find the way. Make excuses around a law that says love the Lord with all your heart. How do you get around that one? And love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, that's awful close. We can
Try perhaps as a lawyer and say, well, then who's my neighbor? Willing to justify himself. That's why I said that. Then who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him the story about somebody that he didn't look very kindly on. These were Samaritan people over here, and they weren't that important. In fact, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were out there. They shouldn't have any right here at all. But Jesus said to the lawyer who was willing to try to justify himself, he said, that neighbor is like that Samaritan who found somebody who was in trouble, and he didn't care that he was a Jew. Out of the goodness and love of his heart, he said, I'm going to take care of him. Everybody else found excuses to go by, but not him. He picked him up. Jesus taught heart matters, didn't he? And that's where he still is today. He wants to help you and I in the very basic places of our heart, where holiness, where righteousness is truly birthed, where God wants to plant his word down in our heart, and that the seed that he puts within the garden of our heart might bloom and grow to a hundredfold, might truly have effect in our life and those around us. I have a question I have written down here on my phone. Why do we baptize? Is it just to get wet? That's not it. I want to try to answer some of that. I can't do it. I won't do it exhaustively tonight, but we're going to skim the surface. Part of the reason why we baptize is because Christ instructed us to do so. In Matthew 28th chapter, 18th verse is where we're going to start. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is a proclamation that Jesus said in front of them. Not just because he wanted them to realize that he was so powerful and wanted them to look at him with such adoration. He wanted them to know that his authority superseded all the law and the prophets that culminated in him. All the authority. Now you have the right to turn your trusting heart and believe in me, because he was indeed the Son of God. Jesus said, all power is given to me. And it is wonderful to know. I think Brother Marvin, I think he preached a message the other day where he accentuated that idea that all power, the power is given. Our Heavenly Father, our Jesus, our Savior is of great power and authority. And we can bank in him, we can trust in him. And then he said, went on to say, go ye therefore and teach all nations. This is part of the reason why we baptize. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. All of those. The Father. He's wrapped up. His expression that he brings to you and I comes through these avenues of his Word and his Holy Spirit. God comes and he wants to wrap himself around you and I to invest in us, give us counsel of his word, not only his word, but also his Holy Spirit that enlivens his word and makes it personal to our particular need of that day, of that moment. Sometimes you might be facing things today that you didn't face yesterday. There's temptations. There's carnality that would like to rise. And because of the Spirit will come and give pricks of our conscience and cause us to recognize it's not good to go down that road. And if we'll listen, because the Word is sitting there saying, remember, child, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And the Spirit says, yes, it is. And we begin our hearts, if our hearts are tendered toward the Lord, he's able then to work in the garden of our heart and cause his Word to sprout and bring forth fruit. This is what the Lord wants to do. We preach and we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know it says, I think here, it says Holy Ghost. I think in my estimation, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is not different. I think it's the same. teaching them to observe. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Part of what this baptism was people were consenting and saying when they were baptized, this is what I believe. When they were being baptized under John's baptism, and he was teaching repentance, they were baptized saying, I believe what Brother John is teaching. I believe repentance. And we need to turn around. And they consented that this is what I believe. Baptism unto repentance. And here unto Jesus Christ. This is the latter part. After he had rose from the grave, the great commission that he gave to those who were following him, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Oh, sometimes when we think all the things he commanded us, we think, well, surely if we can get it written down and passed on in some printed form or some codified form, surely we can pass it on in its purity. I want to tell you, be careful when you do that, because you're probably going to leave the Holy Spirit out. The Lord, I'm not opposed to having the printed word. Don't get me wrong. But be careful that we don't start saying, well, let's fill out this line and this line and this line. Here's a code book. Oh, a code book comes a lot closer than that. The real word of God comes a lot closer than that. It is something that deals with every attitude of my heart. Where I set my affections. Are they set on things above? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I thank the Lord for that. He said he gave a promise. He'll be there with us. What does baptism signify is another question. Well, according to Colossians 2:11, it signifies the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. That part, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, is a quote right from the scripture. Colossians 2:11. Putting off of the body of the sins of the body of the sins of the flesh. 12th verse goes on to say that we are buried with him in baptism. This symbol of being buried, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. That also is a quote. God himself is operating on you. And in you. He's working in us. If we let him. Oh Lord, ride prosperously in my heart. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Paul further states in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So what does baptism signify? A turning from the old life, a public testimony of something that's happened in my heart. A turning from the old unto the new. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? This baptism signifies a dying, a willingness to put the old life behind in the grave, in the watery grave. This is sick. It takes more than just that symbolic act. God actually wants us to rise in newness of life and leave the old man behind and go for the Lord the best we know how, just as children. Now, we don't expect children to know everything when they're a 5-year-old child. We don't expect them to be able to accomplish everything, and just the Lord himself looks at us and recognizes our inabilities, but he feeds us and teaches us and loves us until we are grown, till we come to the fullness of the stature of the... Was it knowledge? Why is it? I'm quoting that badly. But the idea is that God wants to grow us into his image till we come to that fullness of the stature of Christ. God forbid that we would live any longer in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? The death that this symbolizes in us is the conscious turning from our old way of living. Say, Lord, it is my purpose of heart. By your grace, I'm not returning back as a dog to his vomit, nor from the hog to his wallow. That I was tired of that old stinky place anyway. That is not what a person should return to. I don't like it. I was tired of it. And I need your saving, changing grace. And the Lord does that. We are baptized into his death. The old man is buried. The old man is crucified. Turn from. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I would quote along with this, whom the Son has made free, he's free indeed. He doesn't have to go back up and say, well, I'm still a slave to my old master. He saved me somewhat, but I'm still a slave. No, the Lord would have us recognize that he claims us as his child. And I don't need to go back and identify with that old life anymore. I've turned from it. That is put on the cross. And I'm begging the Lord every day, Lord, keep me in the hollow of your hand. Keep me, Lord. I want to walk with you. And he's quite able to do so. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Baptism is a public sign and testimony of our faith in Christ. Something that God wants us to do. He wants us to have, to proclaim the best we know how. One of the easiest ways is to be baptized. That's a public announcement that I'm the Lord's now. There are different ones that need to be notified. We need to notify ourselves. Tell my heart, I'm the Lord's now. I'm not going that other way anymore. We need to tell those around us, I'm the Lord's now. That's part of what baptism is. One other one that we need to notify pretty often. Tell the devil that. I'm the Lord's now. I'm not yours. Even though he might come up and try to tell you, well, you've fallen and you've done all that. You just didn't do that very well. And he'll come to try to crush and discourage. That's a good time to tell him, I'm the Lord's now. I'm not going back. I may not have done that right. I acknowledge that, but I am trying. And my face is set like a flint and I'm not turning around. I'm telling you that, devil. I'm telling me. I'm telling the devil. I'm telling everybody around me. I want to live for the Lord. In the second chapter of Acts, Peter was preaching to the people after, remember, the Holy Spirit was given and everybody came together because of the excitement of what was going on. Their attention was focused on all this. And Peter began to preach to them. And part of his message was telling these people that they had crucified the Son of God, that they had destroyed and hung on the cross, and that they were guilty of the blood of the Lamb. And it, to their minds, some of them began to believe that the Lord had displayed his power and his anointing on that service in such a magnificent way that they were listening to what Peter was saying. And instead of it driving them away in anger, they said, indeed, it's true. We're guilty. And conviction began to fall upon their hearts. And they said, asks Peter, what must we do? What can we do? We're in trouble. We're guilty. And Peter began to preach to them, and he said, the second chapter of Acts, in the 38th verse, then Peter said to them, repent. There's that word again. Turn. Make a 180 degree change. You're not like that anymore. You've been serving the flesh. You've been serving your carnal passions. All these things that has caused you to act in this manner. You've been serving that. But turn from it now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Before there was remission of sin, there was acceptance through the adherence to the old law system. But not now. This was a different day. Peter was telling them to turn from that and find repentance and acceptance. Find, what did he say, repent and be baptized, everyone, for in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. The remission of sins is now in Jesus Christ. It's not in that other way. Turn now from that. That's kind of strong language for a Jew to tell him that. But it's not just for the Jew. It's for every one of us, that the Lord would have us turn from what we used to trust in, what we used to do, and put our faith, whatever we come from, whatever background we come from, the word is still the same. Turn, repent, come to Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in Him. Be baptized for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Brother Peter wasn't ashamed to tell him, the Lord's got the Holy Spirit for you too. Oh, what still part of the gospel that the Lord would have us still to give to people today. Not only does the Lord forgive and change people's lives and forgive them of their sin, and they can have remission of their sins, not only, and have life in Jesus Christ. Not only can that happen, but there is what these people had seen not very long before this, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Peter boldly proclaimed, you come to the Lord and you'll get the same thing we bought. The Holy Spirit's there for us. Every one of us. The gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off. I'm grateful for that. I was one of those that was afar off. The Lord, the gospel still came to me. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And we think of how the Lord called. He told His disciples, He said, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Baptize them. All that the Lord called. The Lord calls people across the face of this earth. And as many as the Lord will call. That's not a select few people. That call goes out to the whole world. 40th verse. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This generation who was rebellious, who was carnal, who got up in anger and killed the Son of God. Save yourself from that generation. Don't be like that. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Oh, for a meeting like that again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I wanted to read that one because I wanted us to know that once you're saved, you're born into the body of Christ. You don't need me to put you in there. You don't need me to put you underwater to be a part of the body of Christ. We'll do it in obedience to the Lord. We'll do it as a testimony. We'll do what the Lord has commanded us to do. But the blood is what puts you in. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have a book for you to sign. The Lord is the one that puts a name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's good enough for me. Thank the Lord. Sister Nicole, I'm wanting to read some of your letter that you shared. You gave me permission to earlier, and so I won't I won't divulge anything that you wish I wouldn't. Thinking, though, a little bit before I do that. She said at the title of her letter that she wrote, she titled it, Why I Want to Be Baptized. I liked how she started it out. Why I Want to Be Baptized. It reminded me a little bit. I look back at that story in Acts where Philip, I think he went down and preached at Samaria. Remember that? And then the Lord told him, I want you to go down. I forget where it was. Go down this other area. And he found one man. The man had become curious. He wasn't a Jew. He was one of those that was afar. And he was curious about the book of Isaiah. He had evidently purchased it, or somehow he'd gotten possession of the book of Isaiah, and he was traveling back home all by himself. And here comes Philip, because the Lord told him to go there. And he found this man, and I could see him. Perhaps the man, kind of hard to read while the chariot was jolting along, so perhaps he'd told, hang on here. And he was reading, and here comes Philip walking. And the man, probably caught up in his thoughts, was reading carefully. And the place in the scripture which he was reading says this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And then and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humility, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? I think in his humility, his judgment was taken away is simply saying that in his trial, in the oppression, that they didn't give him a just trial. In his humility, they didn't give him proper judgment. They didn't care about what was just to him at all. But they went ahead and crucified a just man. His humility, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the man turned to Philip and said, What does this mean? Who's he talking about? And Philip said, he opened his mouth, and I love this. He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, he probably looked at him with such kindness in his face and a certain amount of excitement. You just opened the door, brother. Let me tell you about Jesus. And he began to preach unto him Jesus. As Philip preached, and the man's faith took hold, the man saw some water and said, What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, perhaps Philip should have said, Well, have you been to the altar? Not what he asked. Have you been saved and sanctified? Not what he asked. He simply said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the man answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Sometimes I think we overcomplicate things. I don't say it's wrong to be mournful for your sin. I think you should. I think we should recognize what our sin cost our Lord. And I think we should be mournful. But folks, God wants us to believe on Him enough to trust Him. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is the one that I'm clinging to for my salvation. He believed. She said, Why I want to be baptized. This is, well, go ahead and read. And I've taken out some things and reworded just a little bit, but it's still the essence of what she had to say. She wants to be baptized to have a closer relationship with God. To learn more about God so God can, I like this, permanently stay in my heart forever. That's what she wants. So I can have a so I can have a family. Brothers and sisters in God. Nothing wrong with that, is it? It says in the scripture about God taking the solitary and putting them in family. It's a scripture. Those who are all alone, off in the corner, don't know. The Lord loves. And He cares enough to take them from where they are. And He fits them right into the family of God. Welcome, Sister Nicole. We're glad. She wants healing from her anxiety and struggles. Things have come in her life that has been hard for her. And she wants the Lord to help her and strengthen her in those and bring healing. She sought God's forgiveness for the sins of her past. And she even said this one, including cursing. You know how many people today that claim to be a Christian can lightly use words that shouldn't be used by a Christian? Times have kind of changed, but she's still holding this. I'm right with you. Lord, help us not to use words that would be in that category. It's not that they hurt the other people. It is. We shouldn't do that to each other. But it's more than that. It hurts us. It hurts me. The Lord has helped her to come far from her past, and she wants to keep going forward with a pure heart. These are some of the reasons why she wants to come and be baptized this evening.